We start our third hour. I am live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loan Supply, simply understand fully, mortgage confidently, live in Southern California. Great to have you here. Highlights of the day thus far, I ripped a couple of golden tickets. Couple of people, non-suspecting people, choppered. I don't take any great joy in that. In fact, I wish I hadn't. But if I can't give them away, and right now I can't, if I can't give them away, I will take them away, especially if you never deserve to get them in the first place. Hated to do it, and I'm getting a little flack for it. In fact, more than a little flack, but I took Marie's back. You might recall Marie was the very sweet, kindly, elderly person who called the program, did not even know who she was talking to, but saw me on TV and wanted to discuss a few things. I got so caught up in that moment that I gave her a golden ticket.
Speaking to?
At that point, I would have given her all my money, too. Whatever, anything. Keys to my car, my money. She was just so nice, and she was so sweet. So I gave her the thing that had the greatest value, a golden ticket. But in retrospect, it was not the right thing to do, especially since you ghouls would not have treated her well. So I choppered her ticket. And a lot of you think that was a savage move, when in reality, it was the nice thing, the proper thing. I also took back a golden ticket belonging to Rick or Ryan or Run or whatever his name is. I don't give a damn. The guy was an ingrate. He never called after that, never really expressed any thank you or gratitude. You had it, and now you don't. You're choppered, son. If I can't give them away, I will take them away. And if you're holding on to one, you're not safe. I'm looking at you, Danica. I'm looking at you, Luke and Fort Collins. Ken in Sacramento, although Ken, you probably don't give a damn. But I am looking at you, Ken. Appreciate you. Respect you. But I will take that ticket. I just took Marie's. I'll take yours. We had Anthony Lynn, LA Chargers head coach. He talked about going back to school, finishing up his degree. That was a highlight. He talked about mental health. In fact, on that topic, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And there may not be a more critical conversation than the one going on right now about mental health. So for episode 37 of the Jim Rohn podcast, I invited former NBA player Keon Dooling down to the studio to share his story. He and I have spoken in the past, but never about this, obviously. He spent more than 12 years in the NBA. He retired back in 2013, and throughout his entire NBA and college career, he carried with him and harbored a very deep and very dark secret about sexual abuse that he experienced as a 7-year-old boy at the hands of a teenage boy. He never told anybody about it. He suppressed it for 25 years. Again, never telling anybody until as an adult, one night in Seattle, he went to a steakhouse, he went to the restroom, and it was there that he said he saw a ghost.
I had something that I had compressed down for all these years. I was abused as a child, and I never had embraced it. You know, I never allowed myself to feel or heal from that experience. And in that moment, I was triggered, and it really took me over the edge, and I started experiencing PTSD at that moment. I didn't know what it was at the time. I just knew that I couldn't slow my thoughts down. I knew I couldn't eat. I knew something was going on emotionally, but I didn't want to face it at that moment. I decided to run, and that was my reason for going to see Danny Ainge to retire.
So he actually had a breakdown. He had a breakdown, and he went to Danny Ainge and told him he simply could not play. And then he checked himself into a mental institution. And while that was not the right place for him at that time, it did spur on conversations that he had never had before, a dialogue about a horrific incident that he had never told anybody about, including his own wife.
I remember, you know, having a conversation with my wife and just sharing with her that, you know, babe, like, I was abused as a child.
Did she know?
She did not.
What was that like to tell your wife that?
Oh, it was one of the hardest conversations I had ever had to have. I mean, just as a macho man to explain to your wife that you had been, you know, sexually abused as a child by a man. Hey, man, it was embarrassing for me to share. And her reaction just was like, you just saw her just break down crying. And it wasn't because, you know, I was in the moment and having my breakdown. It was like, baby, I've been here. You could have told me. You didn't have to wear this by yourself all these years. And so her reaction really gave me the strength to be able to go out and talk about it. She says, you know, you got to get yourself strong because, like, you got you got some people to impact. You got some lives you have to change. And I know God put you through this for a reason. And it's going to be up to you to make an impact on people who go through what you're going through.
It's Keon Dooling. So he told his wife that story and then others close to him. And now he's sharing it with everybody in an attempt to spur this conversation on, a conversation that is typically taboo and one that can help many others who are struggling silently like he was for so many years.
Go get some therapy. Therapy. It's the gateway of healing. You know, it's a place where if I tear a ligament, I go to the best surgeon. If I have a tooth issue, I make sure that I'm going to the best person who can do my implant. I'm going to the specialist. But if your heart and your head is hurting, where do you go? The place you go is therapy. They can't tell anybody, so they can't gossip about you. They can't go and run and tell your secrets because that's against the law. They're trained in this, so that means they have the skill set to be able to manage your condition.
That's how you got better, right?
That's how I got better. I took a holistic approach, physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional, and I worked my plan.
You know, again, I said, why did you not tell anybody? How could you not tell anybody? And Keon said he never brought it up because he did not want anybody to think that he was, quote, mentally weak or soft. But the fact is, obviously, it's not a question of mental toughness or will or discipline. There's nothing soft about trying to help others by sharing your story, especially when it's that story. And doing so doesn't make you soft or weak. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's a critical conversation. It's a heavy conversation, and it's one that not everybody wants to have, but I thought it was critical, important to have it. I would encourage you to check this out. It's this week's episode of the Jim Rohn Podcast with Keon Dooling. It's dropping right after the program today on iTunes, all the Android players, and jimrohn.com. In fact, if you're still wondering, I think a number of you still can't figure out this whole podcast thing. How the hell do I get this thing? Let me lay this out very, very quickly. Because you're missing a lot of really good content if you're not listening. If you have an iPhone, click the purple podcast button on your phone. Once you do that, search Jim Rohn. It's that easy. If you're an Android user, you can pick any podcast player like Pocket Casts, CastBox, Podcast Addict, and get it that way. If you do not own a smartphone, just go to my website, and it will be on the front page later today. Just go to jimrohn.com. Jimrohn.com. Ep 37. Dropping later on. You do not want to miss that one. Keon Dooling was in studio yesterday. Tremendous guy. Great, 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 great guy. And a really tough story. But he tells it. He's embracing it. And he's sharing it. And he's helping a lot of other people now. I know a lot of you listening would benefit from that. I know it for a fact. All right, let's go to the phones. I've got Chad Bettis of the Rockies coming up next segment. All right, so this guy, Kyle. Kyle in Green Bay made the trip. He made the trip all the way from Green Bay, drove to California, hit up a number of clones along the way, and it was not without trial and tribulation. My man hit some bumps in the road, literally. Started running out of money, napped it out in his car several nights to save money. Car broke down. Had to figure out how to pay for it and get it back on the road. But he is back on the road. He's on his way home. I'm not exactly sure where he is right now. Let's get all the deets. Kyle in Green Bay. Kyle, what's going on, kid? How are you?
Hey, I haven't been there, but the car is running, and we're in the middle of the Rocky Mountains right now. Pulled off in a little city where I got some reception.
All right, so the reception's a little bit spotty, but I can hear you. So you're in the Rockies right now. The car is running. First of all, what was wrong with the car? And how did you get the money to get that thing fixed?
Well, I had an emergency fund if I needed it, and I had a warranty on my car, so I only had to pay a $100 deductible and for $700 in repairs. So I caught a break on that one. Luckily, I got the extended warranty when I bought the car.
All right, so I like that. That's a good move. So what were the highlights of the trip? Give me two or three things that stand out above everything else.
I could say going to Javier's, that was quite the experience. It was really good, probably some of the best tacos I've ever had in my life. We had some steak and chicken. It was expensive, so a little bit more pricey than a Green Bay restaurant. But, you know, just meeting all the clones in general, man, they're all so cool. They were all so generous. I had people offer me cars. I had people offer me hotel rooms. People trying to start me GoFundMe pages. So it was quite the trip, and I'm glad I took it, and I can't wait for my next one. And then December, I'm going out to Buffalo and the East Coast.
Kyle in Green Bay joining us. When was the last time you slept in your car?
We had a nice hotel for three nights. So we slept Thursday night was the last time. So,
dude, that had to be nice. Three nights in a hotel. How many nights total did you sleep in that car?
We pulled three nights in a row in the hotel, in the car. So it was got a little uncomfortable after a while, but it wasn't too bad.
All right, Kyle. So where are you right now? How much farther do you have to go to get home?
We are in the middle of the Rocky Mountains. I say we got about another, at 7:20 a.m. if we drive all the way through. So we got a healthy amount. I just want to let you know that I will be calling next week to try and snag another attempt at a golden ticket. Once I get it, I'm going to hit the books, a.k.a. Stucknut, and start researching some of these scrubs like Brad and Corona, who doesn't even have the kahunas to go on the Twitter and face the JTP like a man. And the last thing I got to say, Rome, is Canada, you can have Rich Smackerman. We don't want him. War USA. I'm out here.
Hold on, Kyle. It's strong. It's a good way to end. But I want to ask you this. Were you on a Green Bay radio station this morning, and were they interviewing you as a guest?
Yes, they were. They saw all my tweets and stuff, and they want me to come in-house this week and talk to them as well. So it was pretty cool.
All right, so how'd that go this morning?
It was good. I pulled over on the side of the highway in Utah. We had like a good 12-minute conversation. He posted a link on Twitter. I retweeted it if anyone wants to check it out. So,
dude, speaking of Twitter, how many followers did you pick up on Twitter on this trip?
Pushing 300 for sure. So I got to thank you, Adam, for that. That's pretty awesome.
My good, man. That's strong.
Nonstop.
All right, so what's next? You're talking about a trip to Buffalo later on, but what's next? Is that next, or do you have something else planned?
Oh, we got the Green Bay Clone Stock 2018 Week 1 against the Bears. That's the next thing. If I can snag this golden ticket, hopefully I can meet up with Benny and 12-wood, and we can do something like a little party for the smack-off. So that'd be
fun. Dude, is my face going back on that keg, or are you going next level with it?
You got to come, man. We're out here hustling, doing clone stocks. You know, you got to come out with the Heineken, with the Magic Blue, and we'll have a good old party. You and Hawk both come.
All right, Kyle, I appreciate the invite. Listen, I would love to give you a golden ticket right now on the strength of that trip, but I can't. You got to earn that thing. So when you get home and you get yourself right, you call up and you earn it the old-fashioned way, all right?
Hey, that's the way I want to do it, man. I got to go to the top the old-fashioned way and gain the respect of all the clones.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Nice job, Kyle. Safe travels. I'm proud of you. Appreciate you. Stay on it. Stay strong. Kyle in Green Bay. Look at the kid. So he had a deductible. Scratched the check for $100, got $700 worth of work, is on his way back home, already did a Green Bay radio show this morning. They want to get him in studio next week, and he said, I'm going to call and I'm going to earn my golden ticket. I want the respect of the clones. And then once I get that golden ticket, I'm going to go to school on that golden ticket and take care of some scrubs like, quote, Brad and Corona, who will not go online and deal with the JTP. Never forget, all right, before you want to crack on this guy for everything that we just talked about, this is the Drew the Jumpman Gillett kid. Have you forgotten that? That was that guy, that same guy. That's Kyle in Green Bay.
Drove
across the country, hung out with clones. This guy couldn't even say Jim a number of months back.
In Green Bay. Kyle, good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Drew the Jumpman Gillett. Oh, man, I'm nervous. How's it going?
My man couldn't say, hey, Jim, how are you? A guy who couldn't say, hey, Jim, how are you, is now being interviewed on other radio shows. He's all grown up. Damn, my kid is making some progress. Proud of that guy. As if he were my own. This guy couldn't even say Jim Rome a few months back. And now they're interviewing him for 12 minutes on radio stations. But Kyle in Green Bay, and he's not done yet. He's got a Green Bay clone stock. Hey, listen, if any of you want to hold your own clone stocks, you know I'm behind it. You know I support it. You know I'll publicize it. You know I'll push it out on social. Send your pics. What's your problem, Alvin? Ooh, I got to get out. I got a guest coming up. That's Alvin's problem. Chad Bett is coming up in a few moments. Man, it was a long winter, but summer is here. There is a lot to do and a whole lot of places to go. This Memorial Day weekend, top priority on your list should be getting your car in shape for the season. You will find that the easiest place to do that is at O'Reilly Auto Parts. From changing the oil and filter to inspecting the braking system and replacing cracked wiper blades, you'll be amazed at what can happen to your car when you put it in front of the professional parts people. Next thing you know, you'll have your vehicle ready to hit the road in great condition in no time at all. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll find thousands of parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. Everything you need for whatever curves the road throws your way. And, of course, plenty of expert help. The best way to start an unforgettable summer is on Memorial Day. So this Memorial Day weekend, get your car, your truck, your SUV, or van in prime condition for the hottest time of the year. Take it to O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday. Listen, if you're on hold, you want to stay there because I've got time later on this hour for phone calls. But I want to talk some Colorado Rockies pitcher or baseball. We are joined by a pitcher. In fact, he's 4-1 on the year, 30 strikeouts, an ERA of just over 3, 5th in the National League in wins and win percentage this season. He is the winner of the 2017 Tony Conigliaro Award. The 76th pick overall back in 2010. Colorado's only a game and a half out of first in the always tough NL West. They're at San Diego later on today, 12:40 p.m. Pacific time. Chad Bettis is my guest. Chad, it's great to have you back on. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. Chad, great to talk to you. As I mentioned, you're right in the thick of things in the West. Going into this season, you had a team that had some hard times, and then they bounced back and win 87 games. You get a wild card. When you had the kind of success, Chad, that you guys had, how much did that change expectations coming into this season?
Oh, it was huge. You know, I think everybody got a little bit of a taste of it last year, and we all expect more than that this year. You know, I think, that when you get into the wild card and the step of the playoffs of where you want to go, it gets really addicting. And you know, it's something that you feed off of and that you want to keep going back for more.
All right, so you're only 40 games in, so you're kind of getting a sense, I would imagine, of what you are and who you are. But when you look at the arms that you guys have and then the bats in that lineup, including Nolan Arenado, and you've got Charlie Blackmon, you've got Trevor Story, when you look at this team top to bottom, how good can this team be?
Oh, we can be really good, and I think we can be really dangerous. I feel like, you know, we're just kind of filling it out right now. I think, it's early in the season. I think we're right where we need to be, and I think our hitters are coming alive, and they're starting to get hot here.
Chad Bettis, my guest. Hey, Chad, stick with Arenado for a minute. I mean, this is a guy that impacted the game in so many different ways. I'm curious, what's more impressive to you, what he does in the field or what he does at the plate?
Oh, man, I don't know. I would say it's almost equally as impressive. You know, I think you take it a little bit for granted when he's out there on the field because he makes everything look easy. He makes everything look pretty routine when the plays that he's making aren't always routine. It just speaks volumes of how well he is defensively. But I think also his approach at the plate's unbelievable. I think he's in a good spot right now. I think, there's going to be good things to come this year.
The guy's a monster to me. I can't believe how easy he makes a really difficult game look. And then you've got Bud Black, who's one of my favorite guys. He said that among the things he likes best about you is the fact that you're a true role model for all the other pitchers on that team, that they can watch the way you approach your days leading up to a start, how you pitch to a scouting report, and how you execute on game day. So how much pride do you take in having that kind of role on that team and being able to impact the guys around you?
Oh, huge. You know, I really enjoy it. But at the same time, I think it's something that we've developed here as a starting staff. You know, I think we all communicate well. We've all joined together in a brotherhood sense. And we're all willing to go to battle for each other. That being said, I think everybody's a little bit different and how we pitch and scout's going to be a little bit different. So I think the fact that we communicate as well as we do, in ways that, we're going to attack certain teams a little bit differently, so we're not all just doing the same thing.
Rockies pitcher Chad Bettis, my guest. Chad, is that something you always had in terms of being a role model? Is it something you always had, or is it something maybe you picked up and something you learned from watching other guys when you first came up?
I think it's something that I kind of just learned. I feel like I've never been real vocal. I've never been one to be a hoorah guy here, but, I always try to keep my head down and go about the business the right way and really just earn respect. from my teammates, because I feel like respect's not given out. It's earned. And that's all I'm trying to do each day, is just earn respect.
Bud Black said that you're a craftsman, that you could have pitched in any era because of that fact. You're a craftsman. What's it mean to hear a manager praise you like that? Not just a manager, but a manager who pitched and pitched at a high level.
It's unbelievable. I think, to be regarded as a craftsman is something that I take some serious pride in.
You know, you talk about craft and your approach. You've got an absolutely devastating changeup, and one of the things that's really notable about that is the spin rate and how low you can get that. How much attention do you pay to that spin rate number, and what's it tell you?
It's not something I've paid too much attention to closely until this year. Getting a little bit more information and knowledge about it, talking with Ottavino about it, and the ways that it can affect the changeup. And I feel like I've taken wind to it a little bit more. I really appreciate where I'm at with it right now. That being said, I feel like it can always get better. And right now, I think the lowest I've thrown is somewhere in the 1100 range, and I'm trying to get it down to 900s by the end of the year. So it's a work in progress.
Yeah, right. But, I see you working, but I'm always amazed by what guys do with the information. As an example, you said, I'm paying more attention to it now. As an example, I had Josh Donaldson on the show a few years back. This guy practically gave a dissertation on launch angles, spin rate, all sorts of detailed pieces of information. So from a pitcher's perspective, how valuable is all that information?
Oh, I think it's huge, but I think it also can be a demise depending on how you intake that information, because I feel like sometimes too much information can really, make you vulnerable and almost being overprepared and not just using your athletic ability to help guide you through a game a little bit. That being said, I feel like if you're underprepared, then, that's never good either. But I think there's got to be a happy medium somewhere where you're prepared, but you're still able to do what you need to do with your athletic ability and being able to read hitters and read what the team's approach are doing to you and how to make an adjustment.
Yeah, I was going to say, there might be a risk, right, inherent in getting too far into those numbers and having that impact you in a negative way if you get too much of the information. I had Deon Buchanan from the Arizona Cardinals on the show yesterday, and he was talking about how it was when he dealt with an injury last year, and he had to remind himself that football is what he does. It's not who he is. We've talked about the fact that you were diagnosed with testicular cancer, and you're on the other side of that now. It's obviously much more serious than an injury, but how does your perspective change on life and baseball as a result?
No, I think going through everything, it kind of put everything in pecking order for me, and I feel like, I love baseball, but then again, like you said, it's what I do. It's not who I am, and I think that, I think that really resonated with me when I was going through everything. And made sure that that family was first and that baseball was going to be, after that.
What about your baseball family? As you were going through that, how important was your baseball family to you?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I think the fact that my teammates did so much for me, I think that goes without being said. What they did for not only for me, but for my family as well, and helped us during extremely hard times. I'm forever grateful for them.
Chad Pettis having another big year. He's fifth in the NL in wins and win percentage. And Colorado's only a game and a half out of first place in the NL West. Another big one at San Diego today. That's a 12:40 start, so we're getting close. Chad, really nice to visit with you. Always great to have you on the show. Thank you very much, Chad. Great talking to you.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure.
You too, Chad. I appreciate you very much. Have a great day. Chad Pettis, Rockies starting pitcher, joining us. Rockies and Padres, 12:40, so about an hour and 10 minutes from right now. Yeah, we'll take a short time out. One last segment. Open phone segment next. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. How about that bottom of the hour sports update? Here's the latest. Uh-oh! Breaking news. Bad news for the Seattle Mariners, who were this close to actually mattering once again. Never mind that they've got the longest postseason drought in baseball. This close to mattering once again. I mean, after all, they had no hitter. They are six games over 500. And then they got bad news. Robinson Cano, busted hand, hit by a pitch. Bad news. But that's not even the worst news. They just received even worse news. Breaking news Robinson Cano suspended 80 games without pay by Major League Baseball after testing positive for a banned substance. That announcement just coming down. Cano suspended for 80 days, no pay. He tested positive for the diuretic furosemide. It violates Major League Baseball's joint drug prevention and treatment program. And if I'm not mistaken, that is a masking agent used to cover or mask roids and other PEDs, allegedly. He is not going to appeal the suspension. Go figure. And I say go figure because he has an explanation, as all the Reuters do. Alleged Reuters. He is not going to appeal the suspension, but says, quote, "Recently I learned that I tested positive for a substance called furosemide, which is not a performance-enhancing substance," he said in a statement released by the MLBPA. Quote, "For more than 15 years, playing professional baseball has been the greatest honor and privilege of my life. I would never do anything to cheat the rules of the game that I love. And after going dozens of drug tests over more than a decade, I have never tested positive for a performance-enhancing substance for the simple reason that I have never taken one.
Period."
And he says, all right, so what's that all about then, Robbie? You would never do it. You have never tested positive. And understand, just because I don't care if you've passed 100 drug tests, you just tested positive. So it doesn't matter if they never got you before. Drug test. Thanks, Alvin. So, of course, I can't wait to hear the explanation. Here is his explanation. He was given furosemide by a licensed doctor in the Dominican Republic and says that the substance is used to treat various medical conditions there and in the U.S. Quote, "While I did not realize at the time that I was given a medication that was banned, I obviously now wish that I had been more careful." Right. As always, professional athlete, body is temple, know absolutely everything you put into your body, and yes, you should have been more careful. But he wasn't. He also says that he was using it to treat an undisclosed medical ailment. So, maybe that is what that is. Maybe. You can understand why we'd all be a little skeptical. Maybe that is really what happened, but we have the classic strange explanation that it was given to him as medication for an undisclosed ailment by a licensed doctor who's in the Dominican Republic. Hey, Robbie, if it's all on the up and up and you have a legitimate medical condition, why don't you tell us what that legitimate medical condition is? What are you being treated for? And if it's all on the up and up, why are you not appealing? If you've got a legitimate story to tell, why are you not telling it, and why are you not appealing? I'd love to say that I'm surprised, but I'm not. This guy goes to Seattle, and I'm not saying that I knew. I'm just saying I'm not surprised. You got to admit, the guy did go to Seattle and fall off the map altogether. Yeah, Romero hit 39 home runs in 2016. Yeah, but if you hit 39 home runs for the Mariners, do they even count? Does it even matter? Does it make a sound? Does anybody even know? I mean, be honest. How many of you listening right now even knew this guy still was a major leaguer? Yeah, but he was a star for them. If you're a star for them, are you a star? He got 23 home runs last year. Come on now. I mean, this thing still is happening. Does this really surprise anybody at all? Really surprise anybody at all? Not me. I'm not surprised by this. Again, I'm not saying that I knew. I'm saying I'm not surprised. Nor am I surprised by that explanation. Well, I'm being treated for an undisclosed medical condition. Really? Well, if I were you, Robbie, I would start disclosing what that is, and then maybe we can better understand why you did what you did. Because if you don't, we're going to think that you were cheating. We're going to think that you were looking for an edge. We're going to think that you got caught. And no, if you were, you're not the only one who is. People will always cheat because there's always going to be that money and that glory, and people want to get paid. But you got caught. Maybe it's legit. Maybe. But I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical, and I'm not at all surprised. Dear James, I'm pissed. Years ago, about 2 weeks before we were to see the Mariners play, they traded him to the Yankees. 2 weekends ago, we were back in Seattle with Saturday-Sunday tickets to the Angels series. Earlier that week, Ichiro retired. Before the game Sunday, I bought my 8-year-old girl a Robinson Cano jersey number t-shirt. Now I've got to go home and explain to my kid that Cano took a masking agent. Good times. Let's blame it on the sparrow. Hey, Steve, do you need help with this? Why don't you just tell her the truth? That people cheat and he got caught. And that if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And it's only cheating if you get caught. And her hero got caught. He cheats. He had an undisclosed medical condition that he wanted to treat, and he got a subscription, or a prescription, I should say, from a licensed doctor in the Dominican. Tell her the truth. He cheats. Allegedly.
Period.
At TFP Will Eat, tweets, you think Robinson ate tainted beef too? I mean, you can't spell Canelo without C-A-N-O, right? I don't know. I mean, how many times do you have to hear a story like that and not be jaded, not be skeptical, and not say, look, I'm just not surprised. Undisclosed medical condition. Tell us what it is, Robinson. That would help. That'd be a good start. Let's go to Denver. Dan in Denver. Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Rome? Thanks for the Vine. Nice interview with Kyle in Green Bay, becoming clone famous for driving from Green Bay to L.A. I remember the golden days of the show, where guys who called while driving across the country were actually employed. Shout out to you, Marty and NoCal. And shout out to my dude, Luke in Fort Collins. Nice strategy of ripping a golden ticket and then not calling again. It worked great for me in last year's smack off. It got me like 35 seconds of airtime and then 9 months of shame. You got to call, man. It's not a good look. And speaking of not a good look, Rome, how about our boy Cano getting suspended 80 games? Baseball says he violated the joint drug agreement. No kidding. Robbie plays in Seattle. The only thing more available in the state of Washington than trees is the tree. My man makes solid contact in the box, but nothing more solid than that contact high he gets from the 10K in attendance. Honestly, Rome, I wish a Seattle member of your crew would get suspended for 80 shows. War Alvey administering our drug test on our boy Hawk. And War Ken in Sacramento for actually not calling after he got his golden ticket. Best decision that dude's made in months. Out.
Dan in Denver. Rock him. Ken doesn't care, man. War Ken in Sacramento not calling. That's his best decision in months. Ken will call when he's feeling it. Ken will call not to kill another clone. Ken will call when there's an actual take or issue or theme that he wants to get to. I need somebody like that in the smack off. However, I took Marie's ticket. I'll take Ken's. I'll take yours, Dan. I'll take them all. The only tickets I will not take are those that are being held by guys who've won the event already. And those aren't even technically golden tickets. They're just invites. Your thoughts on Robinson Cano. Your reaction. Are you at all surprised? 80 games. 80 games for testing positive for a diuretic used a mask. And he says, no, I've never tested positive. It's been the pride and joy of my entire life playing Major League Baseball. I would never cheat the game like that. Well, he allegedly just did. Except, again, he's saying it's to treat an undisclosed medical condition. What is it? Again, I've said this a million times. If my word and my integrity were the most important thing to me and somebody questioned those things, man, I'd get up on the highest rooftop in the world and scream my freaking lungs out. Didn't do it. Not me. You got the wrong guy. I'm not cheating. In fact, anybody who says that I am, I'm going to sue your ass. I'll see you in court. You, and you. I know this. I'd come up with something a little more dramatic than I'm being treated for an undisclosed medical condition that I'm not going to talk about and I'm not going to appeal. But I would never do that. Okay. And again, maybe he's telling the truth. Sure doesn't look good and it doesn't sound good, but maybe it's true. And Mac Destin tweets, is needing to recover faster, throw the ball faster, hit the ball farther, and run faster a medical condition? Signed, Robbie. Not that I'm aware of. And certainly not one that needs to be treated. At belligerent Nuck, Matt in Vancouver tweets, I can understand Cano not wanting to disclose this, quote, injury. Thanks, Ron Mexico. That was not an injury. Ron, I mean. Romy, we find Cano's excuse for taking the banned substance extremely plausible. Sincerely, dudes that claim they blew their back out putting on shoes so they can sit on their ass and watch the Masters. Jason in Louisville. He's talking about you, Hawk. Stucknuts in. The real victim is Adam Hawk's pet turtle, Robinson. Well done, Steve. Well done. Hey, Hawk, real quick, let me touch base with you.
Yo,
why do you look like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? Why do you look like you're having such a horrific day? What's going on that I don't know about?
Our best baseball player on our best team in 15 years just got suspended for 80 games, and he's
our.
Yes, our. Yes.
Hey, fanboy, are you on that team?
I like to think of myself on that team. I've been there longer than Robinson, and I don't get paid.
Let me tell you something, Hawk. That is maybe the worst take, the worst thing you've ever said. I will even forgive you not knowing who Larry Holmes is, but when you start with this our stuff, fanboy, come on.
It hurts. It hurts, you know?
It shouldn't, Hawk.
Well, the thing that we Seattle Mariner fans take pride in.
We? Our. Hawk, listen to yourself.
This guy was supposed to be the next Ken Griffey Jr. for us, and now he's just a dirty cheater, and I got to go throw away my Robinson Cano stuff and the whole season shot. It just sucks, man. I mean, normally our season ends right around this month, but for different reasons, and I thought that we had a chance this year, and now it's over.
Hey,
the
Alvin,
lineup
why
is
are you
screwed.
Not counting the we's and ours? Hawk, this is good. Instead of me berating you, this is going to go so much worse for you if I let you just pour it on all out. Go ahead, Hawk. What did it feel like when you heard that Robinson Cano was allegedly, reportedly a dirty cheater? What went through your head, Hawk?
I got to be honest, Jim. My baseball fandom has taken a huge shot today. Everything I knew to be real is completely gone. The thing that I love about Ken Griffey Jr. is that he never took roids, and now Robinson Cano has done it. He was my favorite player, and it's just terrible. It's I don't know what to do, honestly, and I'm being dead serious right now. This is a terrible blow to everything that I love about the sport of baseball. Robinson Cano betrayed me, and I'm very upset right now.
Why are you taking this so personally?
Because it hurts. I put a lot of time into this.
Describe the hurt. How much does it hurt? And how much time did you put into what?
I put a lot of time into being a Mariner fan. 3 hours a night, 6 nights a week. And it's
when
been...
you should be doing your job and not being a fanboy, but go ahead.
Put a lot of time into this team, put a lot of money into this team, and it just sucks. Like,
you know what? I've got something that I think is going to make you feel better, honestly. That's you getting run, idiot. I've just put you out of your misery. Hawk, I've defended you on so many different levels since you got this job here, but for you to go fanboy and to be crying about Robinson Cano on air, I'm shocked that, number one, you even know who he is. Wow, Hawk. You are so lucky that the shot clock ran out. Snoring is disrespectful and offensive. You need to stop. Get a Zeepa right now. Make everybody happy. Zeepa is 100% guaranteed to work. ZYPPAH.com. ZYPPAH.com. Hawk, take your disappointment in Robinson Cano and then multiply that by 1 million with my disappointment in you. And not even as a producer, but as a human being. Wow. Pigeon. Chad Bettis was a guest. Anthony Lynn was a guest. Michael McCann was a guest. Obviously, more on this story tomorrow. Robinson Cano busted 80 games without pay. Suspended. Thank you for listening. Look for Ep 37 of the Jim Rome podcast. Keon Dooling, That's going to drop in a couple of hours. See you then, Rob.